B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to start with a follow-up story from this whole thing in South Carolina, from the lawyer, that whole family that we've been following for a little while now. And a stunning turn of events. A South Carolina man was charged yesterday with shooting troubled attorney Alex Murdaugh in the head in an assisted suicide plot to secure $10 million in insurance money.
What?
Just 3 months after Murdaugh's wife and son were murdered.
Can you believe this?
It just keeps getting thicker.
I mean, this is, if you're a fan, if you would listen to any murder podcast, you got to follow this story.
The alleged conspiracy was laid out in court documents released after Curtis Edward Smith, 61 years old, was collared for the botched shooting, which Murdaugh had survived. Mr. Murdaugh had supplied this, according to court documents, I believe. The affidavit said, Mr. Murdaugh supplied Mr. Smith with a firearm and directed Mr. Smith to shoot him in the head.
Jeez.
And they added that Murdaugh hoped that an insurance payout would go to his sole surviving son. The affidavit indicates that Murdaugh confessed to the scheme on Monday and named Smith as the shooter. Smith then admitted to being there and getting rid of the gun. Smith was also charged with distribution of methamphetamine and possession of marijuana. A law enforcement official said that Smith and Murdaugh knew each other and that Smith allegedly supplied the lawyer with drugs because it came out he had a drug problem.
That's right.
Court records show Murdaugh had represented Smith in a personal injury lawsuit a decade ago. Smith's arrest and the charges are the most astounding development yet in a saga with more twists than a low country back road that are already including a double murder, drug addiction, and allegations of embezzlement. So
I can't wait to see the movie of this.
There is more and more. So there will be more from this. We will have to see. But that's just a nutty story. All right. How about this, man? A YouTuber has deleted her channel after accidentally posting an outtake where she coached her 9-year-old crying son on how he should be posing for a video thumbnail. California-based Jordan Cheyenne describes herself as a beauty and lifestyle content creator and has posted vlogs, often about raising her son Christian as a single mother since 2013. In the video, which was titled We Are Heartbroken and uploaded on Wednesday, last Wednesday, Cheyenne told viewers that her family's new puppy had been diagnosed with parvovirus, a condition that can be fatal for unvaccinated dogs. At the end of the video, presumably in a portion that she had intended to cut out, she can be seen telling her son to pose for the camera as he wept. And she said, act like you're crying. She pulled him into her chest. And he goes, I am crying. I'm actually seriously sad. Due to the increased backlash, Cheyenne, who brands herself as an Instagram growth coach on her website, which is still live, said that she would stop including her son in her YouTube videos. But criticism continued, and on Monday she said in a statement to Insider that she was pulling down her channel to focus on Christian's health and well-being.
When I watched this and I watched the video, I was furious because this kid was actually going through a moment, sad over the puppy.
Yeah.
And she's basically saying, you're not doing it right. Get in the camera. We got to sell this.
Yep.
And you know how many other vloggers or how many other people on social media, when you see them crying on the camera, you know that they're doing that so that they'll get more followers.
She said in a statement, getting completely offline, canceling all videos and monetization and prioritizing my child are all I care about. The video was quickly deleted, but not before it was re-uploaded on a score of social media platforms. The same day, Cheyenne posted a follow-up titled, I am immensely disappointed in myself, attempting to explain and excuse her behavior.
Isn't that despicable?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right, this is not the treasure most hope to find. I just saw this story. 7-year-old boy from Perkasie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Was on a treasure hunt in his backyard last weekend. Found a box that was labeled 840 cartridges, 5.56 millimeter.
Hmm.
The boy's mother says that the box was found under tree branches and had a grenade inside of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
As well as mortar tips and fuses.
That's great. What you got there, buddy?
She contacted police who investigated and said the grenade was not a threat as it appeared to be empty.
Appeared.
The items were removed by police and there was no danger to the public, apparently. An employee at an Altoona eatery was arrested Sunday after reportedly stabbing a coworker during a heated argument over him not working hard enough. Anthony Towles.
Should you just try to encourage him to work harder?
No, the guy that stabbed the dude was the one that wasn't hurt.
I got you. Okay.
So Anthony Towles is facing felony charges after police were called to Five Guys and found the victim with a stab wound to their neck, mere inches from a carotid artery.
With you, we're just four guys.
Police reported that both the victim and Towles stated that they got into an argument over the victim telling him that he wasn't working hard enough. The two employees then made their way into a back parking lot behind the shopping center. The victim told police at this point, Towles said, "I'm going to kill you." Towles then related that he took a pen from his sock and swung it at the victim. Police noted that the victim had an inch-long, rather deep cut to the left side of his head, behind his ear, mere inches from a major artery.
That is not the Five Guys way.
So Towles was placed under arrest after that incident.
We've had two stories of local stories of guys being attacked in restaurants by disgruntled employees.
A Boston University professor died in an accident on Saturday. This is terrible. He reportedly fell through a staircase across from the JFK UMass MBTA station. So David K. Jones was found across from the station on Saturday. A passerby saw Jones's body under the stairs and called police. Police determined that Jones, who was dead at the scene, was laying under the stairway, and there was a gap above where he was found. So the stairway just had like a few steps missing, and he must have stepped right through it.
Yeah, and there were signs saying to not go up the stairs.
It had been closed for 20 months, they said. There was a wire fence around the bottom of the staircase and chain link fencing and a barrier at the top. And they don't know why he would have done that or what the story was. Jones was an associate professor with BU's Department of Health Law. All right, one last story and we'll wrap it up for now. A woman was found naked in a Fort Myers sewage drain on Friday night. This has happened a few times.
Yeah, it has.
What? I don't get it.
A witness who was driving by the area saw the woman trapped in the drain and called law enforcement. Police and fire crew responded. Officials had to use special tools to save the woman from the drain. She was transported to the hospital to be examined, and I really don't have any other details than that.
This is the only way I can poop.
Maybe that's her little thing.
Climbed into a storm drain.
Naked in a storm drain.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
This is the second type of story like this we've had this morning. In Missouri, a bomb squad recovered a suspected explosive, possibly a grenade.
Oh, boy.
That was found by two fishermen. James Newton, a frequent magnet fisher out of the Ozarks, said his discovery caught him by surprise. He said, "I was kind of in shock, and then I was so nervous I was shaking." Newton and another fisherman found the device while magnetic fishing, an activity that consists of searching for metal objects submerged in lakes, rivers, and other bodies of water.
Do you have any interest in this? It's kind of weird. I would like to watch someone doing it because they pull up all sorts of stuff like this stuff.
Yeah, I have as much interest as doing the metal detectors on the beach.
All right,
it seems like the same thing to me. When they located the device, they alerted a security guard who then called 911. The sheriff's office, the fire department, bomb squad, and Springfield City Utilities all responded, and the bomb squad apparently blew up the device. The fisherman said the pin was still in it, luckily, so I just grabbed the side and pulled it off to keep my head away from the pin.
Like this?
Yeah. A woman came. Yeah.
Do it like this. No, you idiot.
Yeah.
Like this.
A woman. A woman came down to the scene after it was clear because
no,
she.
Oh, you idiot. Like this.
She heard the explosion from her home a few miles away. He said, "I was just in my kitchen." She said, "I was just in my kitchen, like making my lunch, and then I just heard a big loud boom." That's Karen Fraser. Said, I had no idea if it was inside the house. It does sound super loud, like something exploded up in my yard. Newton is no stranger to finding what he calls treasure hunting, by the way. And he said, "I found a couple guns here, found a chainsaws.
Found a robot.
Weed eaters, just about anything metal. The magnet can pull it out of the water. I found toolboxes, found some money boxes, just all kinds of crazy things. But never in my life I ever seen anything like a grenade.
I got a big magnet."
I made up that last part. All right, so A mother has a warning for every parent out there about hand sanitizer. She says what happened to her young daughter was a nightmare and no other parent should have to endure it. Mm. It was her second day of kindergarten. The little girl set up her desk with pencils and supplies, including a fresh bottle of hand sanitizer, which was on the list of school supplies for the kindergarten class. By lunch, the five-year-old girl had collapsed. The principal called and said to get to the school immediately. The girl's mom said she was walking a little wobbly down the hall. By the time they got to the classroom, to the lunchroom, she fell and couldn't sit up straight. The girl was rushed to Children's Hospital from the school. Her mom said she was completely out of it. I tried to wake her, and she opened her eyes briefly, and she looked at me, but it was almost as if she looked straight through me. Hours later at the hospital, the girl came out of it, came to, but mom had no answer still. Until the school called it again, she had consumed 6 ounces of 70% alcohol. Her blood alcohol level was 0.23. Ooh.
So she had actually ingested it.
Yeah, she was drinking the hand sanitizer.
Oh, God.
In a statement, the school superintendent said the health and wellness of our students is a priority. The district provides hand sanitizing stations that are available in each of the schools. In addition, students are permitted to have hand sanitizer in their desk or backpack. However, students are not required to keep it on their desk or backpack, particularly if a parent or guardian does not want them to have it. There have been an increase of kids ingesting hand sanitizer, of course. It will typically have 70% or so ethanol, which means that they're about 140 proof.
Yeah. So is there any situation or scenario in which that alcohol can be absorbed transdermally?
Give you a buzz?
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Not that I know of.
Originally, that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, not that I know of. Be careful. Authorities caught a 30-year-old Orlando man giving an unauthorized tour of Hollywood studios this summer with a Disney iPad that let him skip the ride lines.
Whoa.
Yeah. A Disney fraud investigator was on alert that someone outside the company may have gotten control of a device for Disney employees only. Over the past few days, his team had noticed that he had noticed unapproved overrides on a Disney app used to make reservations. He said the app is used to facilitate entry into the front of the lines without having to stand in line or to wait on the line ride. Or the ride line, I'm sorry. The application is a private app for qualifying guests and is only installed on Walt Disney World Company-owned devices. The app is not available to the public for use.
Why not?
On June 4th, the Disney investigator saw a man leading a tour and bypassing the lines at an attraction in Hollywood Studios.
Hold it, scumbag!
The report doesn't disclose which ride the man attempting to access. The Disney investigator ordered Disney employees to cancel the reservation before the man climbed on board. The investigator wanted to see if the man would make the reservations again. So he followed the man as he left the park and went to his car. Upon confronting the man, the investigator asked him if he had a Disney device to make reservations. The man admitted he did and handed over the iPad. By then, Sheriff's deputy was on the scene. The man refused to answer more questions, but he insisted that he did not know that the iPad was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
The report isn't clear where the man had gotten the device from, stating someone from a company had given it to him.
I found it over there.
Meanwhile, a Disney investigator confirmed the $400 iPad belonged to Disney and had been taken without the company's permission. However, the investigator couldn't tell the sheriff's office which department the iPad belonged to or how the device had been unaccounted for. Disney apparently had not reported the iPad stolen.
You would imagine that the second you would have to log in, right?
There's some shady stuff like this that goes on, I think, behind closed doors with
right.
Disney. I guarantee you a Disney employee was somehow involved.
Yes.
And that's why it's not clear.
There's got to be a log-on code or something like that.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that if you haven't used this thing in like 2 minutes, like somebody's iPad or computer, it locks you out.
However, I'll tell you that I would have definitely taken that not to wait in line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The man was transported from the Disney property. Walt Disney World isn't naming the man because he hasn't been charged with a crime.
Uh-huh.
As of yet.
Play dumb.
And that's a Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.